Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I am Blaine Prowse.
And I am Jonathan Fraser. And we're starting off on an adventure. We're going to start a sort of a tour here, sort of a chance to explore the Comox Valley.
And we have a new setting for our recording, too.
That's right.
In a real radio station.
In a real radio station.
So if we sound a little better than we did before, that's thanks to Drex at Jet FM.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Drex, for getting us in the studio here. So basically, we're taking the Edible Valley, and we're going to go out and do some exploring. But I think we're going to do it by bringing people into the studio here to sort of tell their story.
Yeah.
And share their stories about food and the Comox Valley.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, instead of going on location, we may still get out and do some, still want to meet farmers and get out and see what they're doing, but the interview process will be in the studio here, so we'll keep a good quality and it'll be better listening experience.
And hopefully we keep it interesting for everyone out there.
Yeah, we'll try to do that. I got some good people lined up that are interested in coming on for interviews, so I guess our little 7-episode
intro
it worked out and we got some interest, so that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty happy with it all.
Well, I think we could start off just by saying, like, you know, who are we going to interview? Like, who do you hope to interview in this?
I'm really interested in interviewing farmers and learning about how they're farming and keeping it sustainable and local, learning about their animal husbandry practices and just finding out how and why they got into farming. You know, and seeing what kind of cool products are out there for us to sample and buy.
Perfect. Yeah, I know. And myself, I want to definitely connect with some of the chefs out there. I know I do get to run into them on a rare basis out there in the field, but it would just be able to nice to sit down and find out what they're doing and where they're getting their food from. I think there's a lot of definite creative people in this community, and I'd like to see what they're doing and hear about their stories. So
absolutely,
yeah. Find out where they're from,
and not just the chefs, but there's so much value added stuff that's starting to pop up around here.
So many producers.
Yeah, I just stopped in on Saturday at the Tree Island Gourmet Yogurt plant and talked to Scott there, and that was fantastic. He was just so excited about everything and building a beautiful little dairy down there, and so we're hoping to get him on to Edible Valley soon for an interview so he can tell us about what he's doing, and I'm really excited about it.
Perfect. That's going to be fun, actually, to get those people in here to talk to us and sort of describe what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So why did we do this?
I think it was just an idea that I had. First of all, so John and I could have a project together because we work such opposite hours, and because we've been friends for 20 plus years, and so I thought it was an opportunity for us to get doing something together, and then the idea of a food podcast just popped into my head, and shortly after the name Edible Valley came into my head, and I proposed the idea to John, and 6 months of toiling with trying to figure out how to do this thing. but we managed to get a few episodes together and, you know, get our name out there. And
that's true.
I've been networking a lot, meeting a lot of people. It's been really fun.
It's been really exciting, actually. I guess because this is new to the air and doing this quality of show now, I guess we should talk a little bit about us, because I think there's a few people that may not know who we are.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you're sort of the brainchild behind this, where you dreamed it up one night, basically because you're kind of into doing blogs and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. I started out with my blog, thecynicalcyclist.ca, and that's just random all over the place. I talk about bike touring. I'm doing a 52-week adventure with my daughter. So every week we're doing something new and exciting around the valley and outlying areas. And then, yeah, and I've just been interested in trying to do more things with the social media aspects that are out there, and it's quite user-friendly and easy to do. But yeah, I'm a sheet metal worker during the day, and at night I'm really getting into food preparation and preserving, canning, pickling, smoking, and sourcing local ingredients and just meeting with people.
Because you're definitely a hunter-gatherer kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I hunt and I fish and I pick mushrooms, but I also will pick wild edibles like stinging nettles. And last night I made some comfrey oil just for fun. So
this is what you do on your spare time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, and I'm mountain biking and road biking and just being outside and doing cool things.
Perfect.
So
you have a favorite food?
Let me think. Probably something that comes from the ocean. It doesn't really anything specific. I pretty much like anything that comes from the ocean.
So it's a good thing you live here with on the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely.
With our oyster fields and clams and mussels and everything.
Yeah, and salmon and halibut and lingcod and crab and prawns and shrimp and sea and cucumbers, and octopus, anything and everything.
And you are a local boy, grew up here.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in the Comox Valley.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
Union Bay boy.
Union Bay, and yeah, now I live in Cumberland, and that's a great little community to a really nice, tight-knit community.
Great mountain biking as well.
Yeah, right on my back door. But yeah, so that's kind of me in a nutshell. When we first started this podcast, I was kind of going by the hesitant foodie as my sort of catchphrase for what I was doing, but I'm quickly evolving away from that, and now I'm not hesitant at all. I'm trying everything and anything I can, and I'm having so much fun.
I think that's with eating local food around here is just getting out and trying it and talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Just the reception from talking to people at the market and just asking them about their product and how they produce it and grow it has been a lot of fun for me. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you weren't born here.
I'm an island boy. Yeah. I was born in Victoria. And I was lucky enough that my parents bought a cabin on Hornby Island built a cabin on Hornby Island when I was 6 months old. So I've definitely grown up on the beaches, and every weekend we were up from Victoria, and I would be on the beach picking clams and oysters, and we'd be having big barbecues and stuff at our cabin there. So that's how I grew up around seafood and food.
Yeah.
And my dad always loved to put on a good feast and throw a party. So that was what I sort of grew up doing.
Mm-hmm.
I did start school on Hornby Island,
right.
And then moved over to Royston at the age of 5 there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in the valley ever since, other than a small portion that I moved away to Victoria.
Right.
To do some culinary stuff down there.
Yeah. You worked at a couple of different places. A
few restaurants Victoria. Down there. Yeah.
And now you've been back in the valley for
7 years now. I'm currently, if anyone may know, the executive chef of the Atlas Cafe. We have hopefully a good reputation around town of trying to provide quality food.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about your reputation.
Yeah.
I think you're doing magnificently there.
We like to try. We like to challenge ourselves, and we're always growing and trying to get better. So.
Yep.
I work with an amazing group of people who really care and love food. So
yeah, that's huge.
That's the big thing is if you care about what you're doing and you want to provide the best. So we keep pushing ourselves every day. And
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. So my whole world revolves around food.
Yeah.
So
I'll say
all I do is I cook and now I'm talking on the radio.
Yeah.
I wear another hat with the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association.
Right.
Which gives me an opportunity to connect with other chefs out there and find out what's going on all over the North Island. So
right. Cool.
That's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. You're a busy man. That's why it was hard to nail you down to get some sort of a project off the ground.
Well, when you talk about food and it's something like this, you know, this is what I do. And I love promoting this town.
Mm-hmm.
And what it has to offer. So I think we've got a great opportunity to hit people and really showcase some stuff. And there's a lot of stuff I don't know about, and there's a lot of stuff you don't know out there.
That's right.
So I think we have a great opportunity to find people. So
yeah, on Saturday I went to the farmer's market And I hit up about 5 or 6 vendors there. Freedom Farms, Fiesta Peppers, Glen Alwyn Farm, Island Soda Works, and Bates Beach Farm. I think I bought product from all those places. And then I went to DKT Ranch and on Headquarters Road and bought a bunch of meat from them. And then I went to Barry Best Farm on Coleman. And then I went to Seaford's Farm. And then I went to Tree Island Gourmet Yogurt and Royston Roasting and Circle K Blueberry Farm and then Ashbury Farm. So.
And that's all in one day.
All in one day, yeah.
Yeah.
I just drove around and I was visiting with people and checking sites and, it was so much fun.
And it looks like you brought quite a feast home because I saw your photos there. So
I had so much food.
There was garlic scapes, which I know you're getting into. It seems to be everyone's trying to grow them and no one knows what to do with them right now. Yeah. What else did you have there?
I had obviously a few peppers from Fiesta and some tomatoes from Bates Beach Farm. I bought a big sack full of various cuts of meat from DKT Ranch. And it's wonderful, all pasteurized and grass-fed and delicious. And a very neat little farm stand there. It's open 9 to 1 on Saturdays. And all their meats in big deep freezes, it's all tagged with the price. So you just go in there and pick through it, find what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wonderful people. And they have a little bit of vegetables there that are from other farms and some breads and some preserves and stuff. So I highly recommend checking them out, especially if you're, if you're not into the farmer's market scene with all the people and all the socializing, you just want to buy some local stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Places, you're in and out and...
And you can get in there and get some really nice stuff at some really great prices.
That's right, yeah.
And it's fresh.
Bacon? They have bacon, yeah.
There's lots of bacon out there. I know I'm using Tannadice.
That's what I buy too, yeah.
It's bacon at the cafe and it's amazing. So, yeah, we're doing the bacon lardons and just cubing it up and roasting it off. I got a bacon pasta that's to die for, so.
Drex is drooling. We love bacon.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, really, the pork out there, the beef out there, it's crazy.
Yeah, we definitely don't have a problem finding protein.
No.
As long as you're a meat eater.
A meat eater.
We have all kinds of protein here. And we have all kinds of vegetables, too.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of what we don't have. And
yeah.
Citrus is a bit hard to come by.
Yep. Bananas.
Bananas.
Almonds.
Almonds. There's a few little things out there that are...
But... for a pretty, you can have a pretty well-rounded diet on food that's grown just in the Comox Valley.
True.
Which is a really important thing to consider in the fact that Vancouver Island really only has about 2 days worth of food on it at any one time.
Yeah.
And, if the ferries shut down and for some reason airplanes can't get on the island, we're going to run out of food very fast.
Food disappears quickly, so.
Yeah. And all it'll be left is gross things like canned pumpkin. How much canned pumpkin do you want to eat? Or, the bread will go bad, and the milk will go bad, and the meat will go bad.
It's all
there's anything left.
Canned vegetables.
That's right. So that's where, supporting the people locally that can make the food. So if we have a problem where the food can't get here, we won't all starve. So I can't remember what the percentage of the food that we eat is actually grown on the island, but it's a very small number.
Yes, very small.
It's 5% or something.
Well, the other bonus is for an emergency that's happening is we have a lot of new wine vineyards coming in,
mm-hmm.
as well as a distillery now. So I think that definitely in an emergency, we should be all right.
There's alcohol.
That's right. Yeah, so no, it's really cool with some of our new vineyards that are coming in that there's some great, fabulous wines, and that's not just, and it's quality stuff, so.
Yeah, totally. No, it's great. It's really cool. There's, I don't know, what, 4 of them, 5 of them?
5 of them. There's 40 Knots. It's a new one, Beaufort, for fruit wine. There's the Blue Moon, Coastal Black, which I should know straight off the top of my head because we're dealing with them with the upcoming events.
Right.
Who else is there? Island Mead,
mm-hmm.
on Hornby Island.
Right.
There's some definitely interesting things coming up in that aspect of the Comox Valley as well. So
yeah,
I think we could probably sit here and ramble on about things about the Comox Valley, the food and stuff like that for hours. But
yeah.
And yeah. Definitely go off in, on many tangents. So
yeah, absolutely. We didn't even talk about wild harvesting.
Wild harvesting. There's another one right there.
So we had a show on the with our old equipment about foraging and
Hitting up mushrooms and how we're both in love with chanterelle mushrooms.
Yeah.
Nice saute with a little bit of salt.
Some soy sauce, and soy sauce, honey, and garlic.
Life's good.
Yeah.
I guess one thing we also want to accomplish on this is talking about some of the upcoming events, because there's a lot of food events and a lot of events coming to the Comox Valley that I think are quite interesting. Definitely, we're always wanting to talk about the farmer's market.
Yep.
I try and get down there every Saturday myself and just do a peruse and see what's coming up and what's going on. I deal on the side with a lot of farmers, but it's always nice to meet some of the people down there. And I definitely do connect with a few to get bounty there.
And so there's always new farmers or just new seasonal vegetables that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just suddenly you'll go there and then people have tomatoes, not just garlic scapes. And
that's right. You
know, like as the season's progressing, it's pretty fun to see the new things that are
popping up there.
What's a garlic scape for us?
A garlic scape. So the garlic scape is just the top of the garlic as it grows up. So it's just before it starts to flower.
Can you do anything with it?
Oh, they're delicious.
Delicious. Like you can ferment them, is something Blaine's been doing. They're also just, they've got that onion garlic taste. So they're not overpowering like garlic bulbs. So you can do a nice little light saute in them. Yeah, they're a little fibrous. So you got to dice them up, but you can saute them into a stir fry. You can really toss them into anything.
Yeah. No, they're basically, this is kind of the first year that I've seen them locally that people are using them. Apparently down south in the States, they've been around for a long time. I mean, they've been around here too, but nobody knew what to do with them. They just composted them, but
yeah,
somebody found out that, hey, we can eat these things.
Yeah, no, they're quite tasty.
And so everybody that grows garlic has got tons of them and they're giving them away. Well, they're selling them, but they're not very expensive for a bundle. It's plenty of them for good meal. You know, you just dice them and saute them with, you know, put them in a sauce or in an omelet. Saute them with mushrooms to have with a steak, anything really. They just kind of, anywhere you can use an onion, you can use a garlic scape. So
like really came to my attention last year when I was part of the 30-day challenge, which was they went to all the local restaurants to convince us to do local fresh sheets with a local twist to it. So there was all of us chefs every Wednesday and Saturday at the market trying to buy something. And of course it was a really bad growing season that year. And it seemed like at that time, the only thing they had was garlic scapes. So it was like, what can we use garlic scapes
to do? There's a picture of one right there.
Oh wow. So you're almost forced to have to learn how to use these.
Almost forced to, for the 30-day. The 30-day challenge was great for me. They didn't continue it this year because of fundings. But it was, for myself to be involved with it, it got me out there on the ground and actually connecting with a lot of the farmers. Because it's, I mean, my day is pretty tight to begin with because I'm in the restaurant. And so really, I honestly have about an hour and a half to place my orders every day. So a lot of times I'll just go through one local distributor, or not local, but one of the major distributors. And so I'll get as much as I can from them. And, you know, I'm always pressing them for what's new, what's fresh, what's local on that aspect. But this actually got me out into the fields and actually directly communicating with the farmers, which was something that I was a little shy to do in the beginning. So it's definitely something that's grown. And I know a lot more of the chefs from that have actually come out of their kitchens. And so I know with the Chefs Association doing our cookbook, I guess it's 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Island Inspiration. It was a fun thing where we took the farmers and the chefs and paired them together and came up with recipes as a bit of a fundraiser for us. So.
Yeah. That's another reason why I thought about doing this with John, was to try and help him network with the farmers too, because I feel pretty strongly about eating local. So I thought, if we do this, then John will get to meet some more farmers and maybe that'll help bring some more local product through his restaurant. And just to get to know some people and find out maybe something you didn't know that was here that you could use on your menu, something like that too. So
I'm finding now my biggest problem is there's too much stuff I want out there and I don't have enough seats in the restaurant to use it all. So
yeah,
sort of directing people in that way.
And you can't have a 15 item fresh sheet every day.
No, I can't. I just don't have the time. So yeah. It's that's the biggest challenge for me is keeping the daily stuff going with and bringing in this fresh local stuff to sort of mix in there. So
right. Totally. So, what's coming up in the events category?
Well, I know with Back to the Farmers Market, there is going to be a chef's day that they've just decided September 8th, which is a fun event where they get the Chefs Association goes in. So probably 10, 12 chefs down there.
Right.
And basically we take a wheelbarrow and we roll around to each booth and sort of start collecting food. And then it's free for all the chefs to create whatever they can. So it's... last year was complete chaos. We had tuna, we had pancakes going, there was blueberries, we had some scapes in there too.
Yeah.
and it was I remember at one point I was doing duck egg omelets with arugula, sauteed arugula in them, and that was sort of how the day progressed. And I probably sold about 20 or gave away tasters of about 20 of those, and then it was on to the next thing. So
nice.
We just kept changing and flipping the food. So it was a lot of fun. So that's something I recommend people coming down to.
Yeah.
If they're around that weekend. I know we also have the Filberg Festival coming up, and I know there's always a big food component.
Over August-long weekend.
So yeah. That'll be a big event. I know there's lots of food trucks and different food down there to sample. So
yeah, all kinds of food vendors there.
Yeah.
This weekend is the Market Days on Fifth Street.
Market Days is happening. So yeah. I know this is going to lead into another one because I'm going to be down there hopefully for a little bit because the Flavor Festival, which is something I'm pretty excited about. Which will be, so I'll be down at the Market Days doing a little promotion for that and selling some tickets, but then the Flavor Festival will be at the Coastal Black Vineyard, up in Merville there.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I think we have at least 25 vendors, which would be chefs and restaurants and producers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be sort of a Feast of Fields idea. So it'll be, I think tickets are $40. And that you'll get a wood plate and a wine holder, and you're going to be able to go out and just sample food at each booth. So it'll be a real showcase of what food is of the North Vancouver Island. So it's really exciting for me.
That's going to be a fun event.
And being involved and just connecting with people. So
yeah, for sure.
And it sounds like they're really gung-ho, and it's all for the North Island College is using it as a fundraiser.
Right.
As well as the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association. So
cool.
I'll go back into the community.
Yeah.
The plan is so.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great day. There also the Comox Valley Farm Cycle Tour, which is right up my alley, is August 11th and 12th. If you go to discovercomoxvalley.com, they'll have a banner for the Farm Cycle Tour. I think the tickets are $15 a day and it's free for children under 15 to go out and ride a set loop, and the farms along that loop will be open that day for you to just cycle in and have a look and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I heard a lot of great things last year from people who did it, and I was hoping to do it myself this year, but I don't think it's going to be a reality.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to do the one loop on Saturday, the easier one, so I'm going to take my daughter with me. That should be fun.
Yeah, it should be great.
Looking forward to it.
I know some of the farmers were a little overwhelmed last year because they didn't realize that many people would be coming out. So
right.
I think they'll be ready for it this year. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so.
Great. What else do I have on here? I got the Mount Washington Food and Wine Festival.
Mount Washington Food and Wine Festival again. I did that one 2 years ago. And that was actually, I did that with Anthony Sedlak, who just recently passed away, which is sad news for the culinary world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great event for myself when I was up there. We did a 6-course dinner, and it was with a local theme. And so I sort of worked with Anthony Sedlak on that one. We sort of created a menu And then the team of Mount Washington and helped me out, and we put together a fabulous dinner. So
right, nice.
Yeah.
And that's on August 25th.
I believe that's when it is.
Yeah, and if you go to mountwashington.ca, you can find link to buy tickets on their website. So if you're interested in checking that out, that's the way to get tickets.
I know there's a whole bunch of other things going on around town, and I cannot think of them right at this moment. So.
Yeah, well, some of the things I saw this weekend when I was out on my little excursion, You Pick Strawberries are still happening.
Lots of strawberries out there.
Ashbury Farm still has strawberries. The blueberries are getting online with different places. Tomatoes are coming in. What else is going on out there? Just
everything.
Yeah, things are just starting to happen.
It's growing season.
And cucumbers and
yeah, the sun's come out, the rain stopped, and now we got a full-on grow of everything. So yeah. I know salad greens are coming out like crazy. So
oh yeah,
it should be some good feeding for the next little while.
And garlic scapes.
And lots of garlic scapes.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I did on Saturday was, you know, that's a thing a family can do for a couple hours on a Saturday. Just go out and drive around and find the different markets that are open and see what they have and grab a bag of food and bring it home and make something fun for dinner. That's what I did. And I think it was a great way to spend a couple hours.
That always is, right?
Yeah. And that was only one. I didn't go to Deep Merville and go out that way. I went towards the ocean. So, you know, there's a whole bunch more out there that I didn't even come close to hitting.
That's right.
So, but yeah, just get out and see what we have here. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, we're lucky.
Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. Check out our website, ediblevalley.ca. Find our page on Facebook and Twitter at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or who you want us to have on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. We'll see you next time. Remember, keep it local.